This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Georgia O'Keeffe always considered herself a Western woman. She grew up on a Wisconsin dairy farm at the turn of the 20th century and then taught school in Texas. She never felt quite at home when she lived in New York City in the roaring 20s, even though she was a successful painter and had a famous artist husband, the photographer Alfred Stieglitz. A new book of their letters chronicles that long, difficult marriage. During one rough patch, O'Keeffe took off for the Southwest and discovered the subject that would eventually define her, old animal bones that littered the deserts of New Mexico. She was in her 40s at the time, but continued to paint them until she died at age 98. To try to understand why those sun-dried bones became such talismans for O'Keeffe, we'll start with Lisa Messenger, who's a curator at the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
In 1929, Georgia O'Keeffe decides that her life has sort of fallen apart. Her marriage to Stieglitz is rocky. He's having affairs. She also felt, I think just personally for her art, that she'd lost her passion for what she was painting. She was kind of having a nervous breakdown. And I guess to bring herself out of it, she decided to accept an invitation to Taos, New Mexico. And that was it. She went up. It turned her whole life around.
As soon as I saw it, that was my country. I'd never seen anything like it before, but it fitted to me exactly. It's just different. The sky is different. The stars are different. The wind is different. I shouldn't say too much about this because other people may get interested, and I don't want them interested.
It's hard to look at New Mexico without seeing an O'Keeffe painting in every direction.
My name is Carol Merrill. I worked with Georgia O'Keeffe for 7 years, from 1973 to 1979. And I was her caregiver, cook, nurse, companion, confidant. I would walk with her, talk with her.
There, that little building beyond is the O'Keeffe house.
I wrote her a letter, and she answered the letter, and her letter back to me said, "Dear stranger," and it was one sentence, and it was, "Whenever you can find your way up here, let us know."
I'm Wanda Korn, and I'm a historian of American art, and I have a very special interest in the artists of the early 20th century, artists like Georgia O'Keeffe.
I remember talking with a little girl when I was 12, and I said, "Lena, what are you going to do when you grow up?" Well, she didn't know. Well, I said, "I'm going to be a painter."
O'Keeffe made her first trip in 1929 to Taos, and she got interested in property there. She began to go back to the same house, a small adobe house in a dude ranch called Ghost Ranch. And then she bought a hacienda in a little village called Abiquiu.
And on the windowsill, there would be all of these little rocks and shells and bones. And at some time, I commented on how the bones made me think about dead stuff. And she said, "No, that was once alive."
O'Keeffe liked to walk in the desert, and she'd pick up rocks that she enjoyed, or she started to notice bleached bones from animals that had been killed and left behind. So she'd pick up these bones and bring them home with her, not knowing quite what she would do with them. So on the second summer, she packed up a barrel in which she put some of the skulls that she'd picked up on the desert, and she sent it to herself in Lake George, New York, for the summer.
That's where I began. That's where I painted my first skulls, from this barrel of bone. And first I painted a horse's head, and then I got this cow's head. And I had the cow's head painted against the blue.
O'Keeffe's painting hangs in the Metropolitan Museum, and it's called Cow's Skull, Red, White, and Blue.
It's a large, white, very rugged, chipped-looking cow's skull smack in the middle of the painting,
with its two horns splayed out to the left and to the right.
There's a black band down the middle of the painting that I think really is probably the easel. And then in the middle, it's blue, like, looks kind of sky-like.
And then two red stripes, one on either side of the painting.
And that was at the time that the men were all talking about the great American novel, the great American play, the great American... Oh, it was the great American everything. And I thought they didn't know anything about America. A lot of them had never been across the Hudson. So I thought, I'll make my picture a red, white, and blue. I'll make it an American painting.
When O'Keeffe showed the skull paintings for the first time, the audience for them was a New York audience. It was the same audience that she had been drawing for her flower painting for the last 10 years or so. And the critics discuss the flower paintings as if they could only come from a feminine gaze or speaker. And this became a little tiresome to her because she felt as if what she painted was always tied to her sexuality and not at all thought, as male art was, as something coming from an independent spirit. One critic wrote a very little review, but he just didn't even mention the bone paintings, as if he couldn't find a vocabulary that would put femaleness and bones together in some inherent way. And somebody called them gruesome trophies in a sort of headline story. And she wrote to one of her friends saying, you know, I'm just simply not doing what these critics say I'm doing. I'm trying to get a sense of place. I want to get some kind of sense, in other words, to give some kind of Westernness to her work.
I mean, if you're aware of her bone pictures, then when you see a skull or a bone, you rethink that image and you think of O'Keeffe.
We're going down to the vault.
My name is Barbara Bueller-Lines. And I'm the curator at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum.
We're going to the lower area of the Research Center.
We have in our materials here at the Research Center a variety of types of bones that she collected. You going to pull that one out?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a deer skull. So they were around the house. And this is, I think, probably a cow's skull. It looks like a cow's skull, maybe a steer. People saw them as symbols of death because traditionally bones are symbols of death. And so they were seen as, you know, in that way when they were first exhibited in New York, her paintings of bones. And she, you know, refuted that.
The bones do not symbolize death to me. They are shapes that I enjoy. It never occurs to me that they have anything to do with death. They are very lively.
The problem with Georgia O'Keeffe is she often told you what things weren't about in her work, but she seldom told you what things were about. So you're left in a quandary for trying to interpret exactly what her work meant.
Now, when people travel now to northern New Mexico, they're often in search of Georgia O'Keeffe landscape. She always worked from nature. She didn't dream these things up. And so you can find many of her sites, and people sometimes do that as sport. They go and find out where did Georgia O'Keeffe stand or where did Georgia O'Keeffe make her mental note of how these hills looked.
We are going to do the Georgia O'Keeffe landscape tour, and we travel in a small vehicle and show you folks specifically the different sites where O'Keeffe painted.
I mean, I started saying last year, Georgia O'Keeffe has been very good to us.
Okay, it's kind of hot today, huh?
So my name is Karen Butts, and I'm the Tours and Activities Coordinator here at Ghost Ranch in Abiquiu, New Mexico, and I lead the Georgia O'Keeffe Landscape Tour.
That's the original entrance road. So this is the way O'Keeffe, now you can pretend you're her in her little car, right? And of course, when you look out the window, you see that huge, beautiful wall. So these are the things she saw when she drove in.
Anybody who's remotely involved in the tourism industry, we're totally indebted to her.
So in any case, I want you to look out the window and you'll see the house. We're going to pass it one more time. You'll notice there's a big old tan garage door.
She loved that it was remote. She loved that it was beautiful and quiet and open and natural and undeveloped. That's the same thing that draws a lot of us here.
But she's fascinating, isn't she? Yeah.
So what kind of work did she do after she started losing her
vision? It's not just, you know, middle age or later middle age women we get on the tour, but there is certainly a noticeable
quantity of them that come and attend the tour. They want to try and get a sense, I think, of what drove her or what inspired her.
I'm Noreen Perlmutter, and I grew up in New York. I was born in the Bronx, and then a year ago, we retired and moved to Santa Fe. I lived the Southwest through her paintings.
You look at it, and it's almost painted for you, you think, until you try. I tried to paint what I saw.
I mean, when I came to the Southwest, I really expected that the Southwest would look like her paintings, and they don't. Her landscapes are way better in some ways, so it was a shock to sort of see it for the first time.
There's a strip of color. You don't see it because it's in shadow now, but there's a strip of pink, red, and yellow that goes all along over a very long way that I've put in at the foot of my heel.
In my 30s, early 30s, that my best friend Fran was coming to New Mexico, to Santa Fe, and she said, is there anything you want me to bring back? And I said, can you bring me back a skull? So she comes home, and she had this beautiful white bleached skull, and there it was hanging in my house in Long Island. It loomed. It was beautiful. And then years later, I retired and I came to Santa Fe, and you know, I got rid of almost everything in my house when we came, except for books and clothes. But I brought my skull. How could you not?
O'Keefe, she would have seen cow skulls used to mark a dude ranch. A dude ranch might have a sign of its name, and over it, it would hang a skull. And as she began to polish them up and bring them to New York as finished paintings, people began to catch on that these were rather beautiful objects. So although she would hate to have done this to the bone, she in fact was the beginnings of a new regional decoration, what today is called the Santa Fe style.
I don't think people think their house is complete unless they have, like, a cow skull hanging on it. My name is Chris Lajeski, and I'm an interior designer. I have my own firm headquartered in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You know, the five essentials of a Santa Fe home is a Navajo rug, a cow skull, you know, a Native American pot. Everybody has a turquoise necklace and a framed George O'Keefe poster. You know, I'll do very sophisticated interiors or a beach house where everything is really stark white. And then you put the skull up there and it becomes a really sophisticated piece of, you know, it's an accessory, but it's like a little art piece.
Today, skulls are an utter cliche in New Mexico. There's been such a commercialization of the skull that it's lost its kind of authenticity.
It's almost like she became pop art. You know, everyone used her. And I got very upset when I realized that she wasn't mine. For me, George O'Keefe and the skull are interchangeable. It is the essence of her. It is the rawness. It is everything that she's about.
If O'Keefe were with us today, she would be very surprised about what has happened to her vocabulary that she invented for the Southwest. She kind of carved out a special space, regional space, for the Southwest as opposed to the Wild West. As her paintings became better known by the American public, the mesas, the lava hills, the churches, and the bones, all of this became identified, thanks to the popularity of her paintings, as the Southwest's special area, all on its own, separate from the vast American West.
She actually said to me one day that in 100 years you can't know if anybody will even know who she was, or anything about her, or even care about her art.
But it happens that the thing that I have done, the things that I've been doing have been in touch with my time so that people have liked it. But I could have been much better and nobody noticed it. Much better, I'll say, as a painter. Some people seem to be luckier than others. I don't know, maybe it's because I've taken hold of anything that came along that I wanted.
When I think of O'Keefe, I think of it as the enormous courage it took to do what she did. She talks about that her life has been like standing on the edge of a knife.
On this knife, I might fall off on either side, but I'd walk it again. So what? What if you do fall off? I'd rather be doing something I really wanted to do.
I hope we keep struggling to try to figure out what she was up to. And I think there are little gifts that she left along the way in her words, but mostly in her art. And it's a mystery, and I love the mystery of it. I can never know the whole story, and that's fine.
Anne Hepperman and Kara Oler produced our story for the American Icons series. You can see some of their photos from Abiquiu, New Mexico at studio360.org, as well as some images of Georgia O'Keeffe's skull paintings.